Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Cross Point Church.
So early in the mornings, I've been trying to get into prayer and into scriptures before I even look at the news or scroll through Instagram or check Twitter, before I see what everybody else has to say about everything. I've been trying to let the first voice that speaks into my soul be God's. Like when the water is the stillest, or even on a morning where you can kind of hear the rain and it's just in the stillness though of it, I want to be still and listen. So while it's still dark before the kids are up, I come out to the back porch with a cup of coffee, of course, and the darkness is kind of a metaphor for life right now. I mean, there's a lot about the future that we can't see, and there's this vulnerability, this lots of unknowns and unpredictability, and we have decisions to make. Like, we need direction and we need guidance, and I'm guessing that you've been there too, and that's what I want to talk about today. And so I sit on this back porch and I open the Bible, and I use a Bible reading plan because when you don't know what to read, sometimes it's just helpful for you to have a plan. I mean, it's like when you walk into the gym. If you walk in the gym without a plan, you can spend a lot of time just walking around, just wandering around. You might end up sitting on that leg machine that works the inner thighs. You know the one I'm talking about. I don't have to demonstrate, but like that one machine, like, you don't want to be that person. And so it helps to have a plan in the gym. And you know, it's helpful to have a plan when it comes to reading the scriptures. And what's crazy about a Bible reading plan is how oftentimes God has a way of giving you exactly what you need for that day. These days, the plan has me in the Exodus story, which is the story of God leading his people through the wilderness. And life feels like a lot of wilderness right now. I mean, wilderness is that space between Egypt and the promised land. It's a lot of waiting and wandering and wondering what's up ahead. And physically, we kind of feel like that as a church. I mean, when the tornado tore through Nashville and took out our Nashville campus and our offices, we were nomads, right? We were wandering without a home. And then the next week, we were hit by the chaos of the coronavirus, which led us to cancel our large gatherings and retreat into our homes. So I'm feeling the wilderness right now. Maybe you are too. And it's in the mornings that I get up before the kids get up, because it's the only time that our house is still. And I use that time to pray and to process and to read and to think. And one of my favorite things to do early in the mornings is to make a fire. Now, I like to make a fire because it's primal, right? But also because it's spiritual. Because as I'm making that fire, my prayer is, God, would you make what's going on in this fireplace? Would you make it happen in my heart? That I would have a white hot heart for you, love for you, and that I would feel the warmth of your presence. And see, when you read through the scriptures, you find that fire is this important metaphor in the Bible. It's an important symbol, especially in the book of Exodus. It was at the burning bush where Moses had this conversation with God, and God told him, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt and into the promised land. And Moses says, God, when I go to Pharaoh, who should I tell him sent me? And God says, I want you to tell him, I am sent you. God gives Moses his name. His name is I Am. And God wanted his people to be free. Listen, God's heart is always for his people to be free. Free from slavery, free from sin, free from guilt, free from shame, free from oppression, free from fear, free from hell. And Moses goes back and he gets the nation of Israel, and God delivers them from Egypt. But before they enter into the promised land, they have to wander through the wilderness. Now, the wilderness has a way of teaching us things. The wilderness will teach us how to trust God as our provider. It'll teach us how to rest in his presence. It will teach us that God will care for us. It will teach us that God will meet our needs. He'll care for our needs. But the wilderness also reveals the other gods of this world that we've been worshiping and trusting in, the idols from Egypt that we've been depending on for our worth and for our significance and our security. The wilderness reveals what's going on inside of us. The wilderness refines us. I've heard it said that it took God one night to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took him 40 years to get the Egypt out of Israel. You know, one of the most powerful lessons that the nation of Israel learned in the wilderness is that they were not alone, that God would lead them. In Exodus 13:21, it says that by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. Now, I'm sure that they got peace when they could look up and see that there was this pillar of fire, that God had gone before them, that he hadn't left them. And as long as they had the fire, they had his leadership, right? They had the presence of God. They were going to make it through the wilderness as long as they had the fire. And last week, we talked about how they would set up this tabernacle. And this tabernacle was this tent of meeting. It was this place where they would worship God. And in Exodus 26, it gives specifics on how they were to build this temple. Now, the morning after the tornado hit, I opened up my Bible and I asked, I said, God, would you speak to me? Would you speak to me through your word? Because there's a lot going on. God, I need your presence. I need your peace. I need you to speak to me. I need you to lead me. And I saw something that I'd never seen before. In Exodus 26, it gives specifics for constructing the tent. It says in verse 14, it says that they should make this covering of tapestries of ram skins, and that they should put this covering of dolphin skins at the top of the tent. Now, I'm reading this and I'm like, dolphin skins? who put that in my Bible? I've been reading the Bible for a long time and I've never seen dolphin skins. And then I was thinking, when did they get dolphin skins? Where did they get dolphin skins? When was the last time that they encountered marine life? When was the last time they were at a sea? They're in the wilderness. The last time they were at a sea was the Red Sea, when God parted the Red Sea. So here's the picture. They're walking through on dry ground and somebody looks down and sees a dolphin. They've never seen dolphins before. They've been slaves for 400 years. They're like, this is crazy. I don't know what this is. And so they pick it up. They pick it up. Somebody says, we should skin it. I know this is not a PETA-friendly message, but they're like, we should skin this thing. And so they're carrying dolphin skins with them. Somebody has that thought. And then when they're constructing the tabernacle, God says, put that dolphin skin on top. This way, every time you come to worship, you're reminded that I delivered you, that I rescued you. This way, you're reminded that if I did it then, I'll do it again. In the wilderness, we need reminders of how God has moved in the past and that he'll get us through the wilderness. I'm wondering, what's the dolphin skin of your life? What are the places in your past where you've seen God's provision, where you've seen God's protection, where he's brought you through? Maybe he brought you through cancer, or maybe he brought you through a divorce, maybe he brought you through financial hardship, maybe he brought you through the loss of a loved one, maybe he brought you through a job transition, or he brought you through the Great Recession, or he brought you through a personal crisis. Maybe you need to go back and remember how God brought you through in the past so that you can be reminded in the present wilderness, God will lead you through. He will bring you through again. And the nation of Israel, they made it a point to remember. And so they had these festivals where they would celebrate. They celebrated the festival of Passover, where they were reminded of how God delivered them from Egypt. And they celebrated this Passover. After the Passover, they celebrated this festival of tabernacles, this feast of tabernacles. It was another festival that would help them remember later on in the year. And in the feast of tabernacles, they also called it Sukkot, or the feast of booths. And where they would remember how they lived in these temporary dwellings, these tents, when they wandered through the wilderness. And so what would happen at this festival, everybody would make a little tent to live in. Families would build these little, temporary houses, and they would cover the roof with palm branches so that they could still look up and so they could see the stars, to be reminded of the promise that God gave to Abraham of the numerous descendants, and to be reminded that when they were in the wilderness, that they weren't alone. They would look up and they would see the glory of God. God was present with them even in the darkest night. And then they would light up these giant lampstands there in front of the temple, 75 feet tall. These huge lampstands would light up Jerusalem. And they would go and they would worship and they would be reminded that just as God was faithful in the Exodus, just as God was faithful in their past, that he was going to be faithful in the future. And by lighting these lampstands, they were saying, God, we're depending on you to send the Messiah. We're depending on you to save us. And in John chapter 7, it tells us that the Festival of Tabernacles was getting ready to start in Jerusalem. It says the crowds were gathering from all over. And Jesus' brothers, like, they were trying to convince him to go to the festival, to go do some miracles, do some signs and wonders. Be spectacular, Jesus. Go do your thing. Then everybody will know who you are. And you know what Jesus said? He was like, nope. He waited. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus didn't let other people, even his family members, set the agenda. See, Jesus followed the will of the Father. Jesus was willing to disappoint people who were close to him to accomplish the will of God. And so Jesus waited, even when it didn't make sense. He waited. And then he went to the festival. Now, this is a huge festival. I mean, imagine hundreds of thousands of people coming to town. And people are building all these little shelters, and they lived in these shelters for 6 nights. And so there would just be these huge parties that would go on. It was a celebration. And they would party in front of these big lampstands. There was a celebration. People were dancing. They did these torch dances with music and worship, and they would light up the night singing praises to God, remembering what he'd done. And this was what was going on when Jesus shows up. Some commentators believe that it was at the end of the feast, at the very end of the feast, when things were shutting down on the last night, when all the torch dances were done, when the final torch was blown out, that that was the moment when Jesus stands up. And we read about it in John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, when Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I imagine it was one of those moments where the record scratch and just like everybody stopped, where you could hear a pin drop because he just said that he is the light. And he said, I am. Essentially, Jesus just said he's God and that he's the pillar of fire and that he's the one who's come to lead us through the wilderness. Now, what they just heard was that Jesus said that he's the Messiah, that he said that he's the Son of God. And Jesus had this way, when you read through the Gospels, you find Jesus had a way of dividing a crowd. I mean, some people believed and some people did not. Some people thought he was crazy and other people thought he's worth trusting. See, a statement like this, I am the light of the world, that divides a crowd because either he's right or he's wrong. There's not a third option. If he's wrong, then it doesn't matter, just dismiss him. But if he's right, then there are some serious and significant implications for our souls. It's of infinite importance because he didn't say, I am a light. He didn't say, I'm an additional light or an optional light. He didn't say, I'm a possible light. He said, I am the light. I am the only light worth following. And there are artificial lights in this world. He says, I'm the light worth trusting in. I am the only one who will be able to lead you home, to lead you to the promised land. Now, what he said is either unimportant or infinitely important. The one thing that it can't be, like C.S. Lewis said, is moderately important because either he's right or he's wrong. And no matter what you believe about Jesus, we can all agree that there's darkness. I mean, just look at the world around us. It's obvious the evil and the brokenness and the fallenness and the sin and the despair. We see the selfishness and greed and gossip and abuse of power, manipulation. There's hatred and racism and oppression and bitterness and unforgiveness. There's disease and death and fear and loneliness. See, nobody is debating that there's darkness. You just have to figure out what you're trusting as the light. And all of the darkness of this world, study his life and you'll find that Jesus is the opposite of darkness. He is truthful and whole and faithful and good and selfless and giving and gracious and loving and kind. And he breaks down barriers and he forgives fully and he overcomes death and he gives peace and he gives healing to hearts. And if it's not Jesus, then what light are you following? I mean, Jesus makes two promises. He says, if you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. And if you follow me, you will have the light of life. Jesus is saying, You'll never walk in darkness. Now, he didn't say that he would take all the darkness away. We still have to face the darkness of this world. Sometimes the darkness is the lies. It's the lies that we believe about ourselves, that we're not enough and that we're all alone and that God doesn't care and that we're not going to make it. Sometimes darkness is addiction and the demons of our past. It's the things we tell ourselves that we'll never be free from, or the forms of escape that we might have. Sometimes the darkness are the people and the places that we know that are outside of the will of God for our lives. And Jesus said, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Essentially, he's saying you can walk in darkness if you want to, but you don't have to. Just follow me. Stay close to me in your heart and in your mind, and I'll shine my light. I will tell you who you really are, and I'll give you strength over that temptation. I'll lead you to new people and to new places that will help you fulfill God's call on your life and help you walk in freedom. You don't have to walk in darkness unless you want to. But the closer you come to me, the more light you'll see. My light will dispel the darkness and help you see the things as they really are. And my light will illuminate what is beautiful in the world. The second promise Jesus makes, he says, you'll have the light of life. Now, what is the light of life? It's real life. It's true life. It's sustaining life. Now, when we live long enough, we realize that neither money or ambition or success or fame or sex or relationships will ultimately satisfy. I mean, for a moment, we may get that thing, or we may buy that other thing, or we may possess things and own things, but ultimately we realize that they don't fully satisfy the soul. They're not the light of life. They're artificial lights. They're superficial lights. They're imitation and man-made. I mean, think about, like, another pair of sneakers might make you feel good for a moment, but eventually that wears off. Your sneakers get creases and you're looking for the next ones. Or you think, man, if I can just get that car, then everything will be right. Then I'll have life. But eventually that wears off too. I mean, in the face of a pandemic, a new car really isn't going to change your life. Jesus said, I am the light of life. I'm the only one who will truly satisfy. So what does that mean for us? I mean, practically, as followers of Jesus, what does it mean that he is the light in our world? First, it means that he is with you. You need to know this. He is with you. You have his presence. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you. He wants you to draw near to him. He says, if you seek me, you will find me when you seek with all your what? Heart. And so can I invite you to experiment with me this week? I mean, set your alarm. Get up earlier than normal. Find a place where there's some stillness and meet with him. I promise you, it will be worth it. I mean, light a candle, light a lamp. Maybe make a fire in the fireplace, or flip a switch and turn on the fireplace, on the gas fireplace. Not nearly as fun, but it'll work. And as you look at the fire, be reminded that God is with you, and just sit. Listen, there is no such thing as wasted time with God. I mean, we waste all kind of time on our phones, but you can't waste time with God. With him, as you sit and you listen and you pray and you worship and you read the scriptures, I'd invite you to give it a try, to sit with him before you scroll, before you go to the news, before you look at all the darkness that's going on in the world. Go to the light of his truth, the light of his love, the light of life. I mean, experiment with me this week. And then second, what this means is that Jesus is the light, is that he will lead you. Just as he led the nation of Israel, he's going to lead you. It means that he is your guide. When the Holy Spirit rested on the disciples, there's kind of this vision of a flame on each one of them. I think what God is saying is, just as I led the nation of Israel, I'm going to lead you individually. God promised that the Holy Spirit would guide us to truth, that he would be our guide, our 24/7 guide, that he would lead us, that he would guide us to truth, that he would guide us from sin, that he would guide us in the decisions that we make. And I know you've got big decisions to make. I mean, the kind of pressure that we feel these days, you got decisions to make at work and decisions at school and decisions in your family and decisions financially. If you're in leadership right now, there's all kind of pressure because you've got decisions to make. I've got decisions to make too. Listen, you can't afford to make prayerless decisions on your own, in your own strength. Right now, I mean, you're good. but you're not that good. And he will lead you. He will give you ideas. He will give you insight. He will help you know the next step. I love how Henry Nouwen says it. He said, you can't see the whole path ahead, but there's usually enough light to take the next step and then to trust God's guidance in the moment. We want God to shine the spotlight, but really it's more like a flashlight, just enough to take that next step. He will guide you. But then third, it means he will shine through you. Now in the passage that we read in John 8, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. But in Matthew, he looks at his disciples and he says, you are the light of the world. He says, you're the light of the world, a town that's on a hill that can't be hidden. He said, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, Jesus changes it. He says, you're my strategy. My strategy for lighting up the world is you. It's the light in your hearts. It's the light in your homes. He's putting the light in your hands. Your job is not to curse the darkness or to run from it, but to walk into the darkness carrying the light. So how do you shine the light? Jesus makes it real simple. He says that they would see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, when we love others, when we serve others, when we give, his light shines through us and he'll lead you. I mean, maybe it's sharing food with your neighbors, or maybe it's caring for an elderly couple that you know, or maybe it's writing a note of encouragement or calling and praying with a friend. It's that in a world that is stockpiling out of fear, we're the ones who share. When the world is running for cover, we're the ones that are making sure that others are covered. When the world is scrambling for self, we're the ones looking to sacrifice. We might be in the wilderness, but we're not alone. And he will lead us and he will shine through us. Jesus promised, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And you have that light in you. And so I want to pray a prayer for you. It's a prayer that I wrote. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray it together. God, I believe that you are the light. And thank you that the light of your presence defeats darkness every single time. God, would you help me have a white hot love for you that is greater than anything in this world? Jesus, would your light lead me to truth and the peace of your presence fight back fear and the lies of the evil one? Help me see and know that you are with me. Help me see and know the decisions you want me to make and give me the courage to obey. Help me shine your light by loving others where you've placed me for your glory. Amen.